Wait for a little bit, I'm not here.
We have reached the quorum. This is our first meeting of 2020. I welcome all of you and Happy New Year and compliments of the season to those who have enjoyed themselves during the festive season. Let me take this opportunity and welcome you, DG, with your team, and Happy New Year to you too. It's gonna be a very long year for you. The marathon is starting today, and I'm just hoping that you will have stamina to finish this race, because it's not going to be an easy one. So our meeting today, it's a continuation of what we had last year. I'm hoping that DG, your people are ready, because we gave you the whole year. We gave you the whole December. Yo, it is November and December that you had for preparing for this meeting of today. I hope you briefed your team that the meeting of today is as a result of your presentation. And I'm not expecting any presentation here from the CFO, which is new. We're moving from the premise of the last presentation, which was presented here, which triggered many questions. And we're so uncomfortable with some sections on the presentation. And the presentation itself, whether direct or indirect, it had warranted us to summon some of your team members in the department. So I can safely say your team is here today as invited by the slides which were presented to us. The slides which were presented to us invited your team automatically. And the contents of the presentation unprovoked invited some members of your team. That's why we're here today, receiving the responses. That's why I'm anticipating that you are ready, because you had the whole 2 months to prepare, November and December. Because the presentation of the CFO was done on the 30th of October. Still have the copy. Remember, I keep records. So that's the purpose of this meeting. I'm sure our secretariat still has the notes. You can read that decision of the meeting. Do you have your notes with you, the minutes?
They are in the left.
Bring them. Why is the laptop there and you are here?
No, it was for Derko to present here, so...
Derko is going to present what? He read July expenditure. We are not going to start there. That thing of irregular expenditure is not the subject of this meeting. The subject of this meeting is a presentation by the CFO on the 30th of October. Which had so many allegations about many things, people in the department. And we've listed, that's why I'm saying to you, read that conclusion of the meeting, so that we are able to move from that premise. We can't have a morale of people from the department here only for the irregular expenditure. No. Irregular expenditure, it will need a DG and a CFO only. Not the rest of you. Can you reflect on the last, the conclusion of the meeting? Lubabash, do you have it?
Yes, Chair. Okay, Chair. May I read the discussion, Chair?
Discussion.
Okay, Chair.
Give me that comment, I don't know what I'm looking
for. No, Chair, I'll go for it. Thank you, Chair. During the meeting of the 30th of October, after the presentation by the CFO, the chair noted that she was tempted to stop the presentation as it was not what the committee had requested it to be. And therefore, because of the pressure of time, members felt that there was no way that proper responses could be given to questions that members had raised. Members suggested that the Director General of DECO and the CFO provide written responses to questions, or alternatives that the committee should reschedule a follow-up meeting with them where responses could be given. The committee agreed that a follow-up meeting was the best option, as it was further noted that the chief director, supply chain management, internal audit, and then acting CFO should also be invited to the meeting. That was the conclusion, Chair.
I think no advisor.
Oh yes, no apologies, Chair.
We don't that thing which is in front of the others are going to miss rather than our discussion and conclusion.
No, Chair, I only omitted who state law advisor, Chair, amongst the people that were supposed to be invited.
Is that the true reflection of the purpose of this meeting, honorable members?
Yes, Chair.
Yes, Chair.
DJ.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. The late came as a result of the decision that was arrived at that we should come back for a follow-up meeting with the committee to adequately respond to the matters that were raised. Thank you, Honorable Chair.
So we need the presentation of the 30th of October from you. Copies, honorable members, of the 30th, or are on your phones, because 4IR is dictating the presentation of the 30th of October. You all have copies of that. Okay. Who has no copy?
Okay.
Your copy, the copy should be on your emails. Then you can open your emails and retrieve that copy. Do you have it in your PC?
Yes, Chair, I have it.
We are starting with the presentation, Honorable Chetty, for the benefit of those who were not here from the team, Yase Derko, so that we move from the same premise and understanding as we are going to be discussing, because they must account on a number of issues. Yes, Honorable Chief.
Thank you, Chair. And good morning to everyone. Chair, before we go to the presentation, can I just make a request? That there's a part that was omitted where the decision we took in the presence of the CFO was for him to appear the following week. Mm. Now, I don't want us to start giving all the explanations and that's it done and dusted and that's not bringing it up. I'd rather clear here now. There were two meetings that were scheduled. The first one was scheduled, and that's what you're omitted to say right now, that the committee took a decision in the presence of the CFO to appear the following week and we reschedule our diaries to accommodate that. And at that point in time, there was no one that extended any apology that they would not be able to make that meeting. On the eve of us arriving to Cape Town, we informed the unavailability of the CFO. To date, I'm not sure whether the office has received any apology or anything to the effect as to why it happened, because we, as or myself, hadn't received any notification of that to say it was not going to happen. I recall that we did come to meet, and we were told that we could not meet because of that reason. It was further postponed to the week after that, and only then to be informed that the CFO was abroad. So, Chair, we can get some clarity on that, because at that meeting, the very first meeting of the 30th, when we agreed to postpone that meeting, reconvened so that the CFO and the DG could give us responses to our questions, everybody at that room was in agreement that the following week we could meet. Thank you, Chair. Please, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I can recall we did come and there was an apology sent from the CFO for that, and the meeting could not proceed when we were already here. I'm just using my recall. I will just check deeper whether it is appropriate, but I do remember that we did come on the day. Honorable Chair, I was responding to the fact that indeed that was the case, that it was agreed we'll meet the next week. And that next week we did come, and the meeting could not take place, of course, and on the basis that there has been a request, an apology of the CFO.
A request or apology? Request and apology in the dictionary of
court
means different things. That's why I'm asking OT. Apology, no request, the meaning is not the same. Check your Google dictionary then if you have it. That apology was sent by SMS whilst you were here. So Utini, why are you ice skating?
No. Then I was just using my memory for that, because indeed I personally was here for the meeting myself, and then it dawned that the CFO has sent that SMS to request an apology. To put up an apology for the meeting. When I was...
So, DG, when you have this has been doctoring, the English runs away in the process of you spin doctoring, the English runs away. Why do you want to spin doctor because the writing is on the wall. You can't want to spin doctor there things that are clear. Hmm? So you're using your selection of words, Nje, it's problematic because you are busy spin doctoring. Because the reason why the department is in this situation is because of your sugarcoating, spin doctoring, covering up for your team. You see here, we don't subscribe to that. Because everything that happened that day, it happened here in our presence. Came all the way. There was no CFO. Now you can't request an apology. An apology is not requested. You can request a leave. An apology is submitted. So I don't know which English word that you want to use in your sentences, because generally you seem to be confused because you want to play a devil's advocate in our meeting. Can't be.
Not necessarily, Honorable Chair. I was just mentioning because when I arrived here, expecting everyone to be here as I did, I was informed then that the meeting will not proceed as a result of the fact that a message has been sent by the CFO, let me not use those words that could amount indicating that he will not be able to make it. So in the event that this is not sufficient, I think I'm not able to answer further. He will be able to express, but the meeting was duly postponed. Perhaps it would have arisen during the meeting itself, and then I would have answered differently.
The meeting was duly postponed, and how much resources did you use? How much resources did you waste? The amount? Noted, Honorable Chetty. Honorable Nkosi, you are number one. Number two, Honorable Sane Turkisi, congratulations to your election to the leadership of EFF. I know when we knew of you were praying, counting days, whether you are in or out, and that you were praying that you don't miss your flight because you are rushing to conference. Yeah. So we heard from news that you are in leadership now. Honorable Desmond, Honorable Chetty, we will be the last on this issue so that we move.
No, Chair, I think what we concluded in that meeting was that the CFO knew that the meeting was going to be complete in the presentation of itself. That when we arrived in the meeting, we were expecting the CFO to be here. But that despite, we concluded that reasons must be given for why the CFO was not here on that day, not the apology. The apology is something else. That we had to understand why the CFO, knowing that we had postponed a meeting for them to make a presentation, deliberately withheld the information that he was actually going to be out of the country. So it's just, we just need the reasons, not the apology that I'm not able to attend when you are here. But why did the CFO not come to a meeting when he knew that the meeting was convened for the specific purpose of him making a presentation?
Thank you, Chair. I just have one question for the DG. So, good DG was already here when the apology came in. Does it mean that none of the team was briefed about what needs to be presented today? I mean, on the day of the meeting. So, you did not know Ugochi CFO Agezi, and he is the one that reported previously. So Ushkuti, when you guys came here, none of you knew Ugoti Buzoyenziwani because you wouldn't have come if the CFO Beyaz Ugutangere is.
Well, Chair, thank you very much. Chair, I think the reason, my observation is that the reason why we always find ourselves in this crisis, specifically that department, the collapse of that department, because the DG, you see now, the DG, Ufunuko's been doctor, Ufunuko's been doctor, and it's unnecessary, it won't help us, DG. I don't want to say, probably you are also a contributory factor for the collapse of that department, DG. And unfortunately, we won't allow that kind of situation, because a meeting was called in time. Now, if a meeting is called in time, now you apologize at the 11th hour, or you write an SMS or whatever, to me it's an undermining, you undermining the committee. And unfortunately, we are not going to allow any person to undermine this committee, because there are costs involved in the process. We can't call a meeting, and then when we're in a meeting, then the meeting must be postponed because of one individual. No, that cannot happen. It's a problem, Honorable Chair. So I want to align myself with Honorable Musane to say, let's have an explanation together with Mr. Honorable Nkosi. We must have an explanation here before we proceed. What happened, why the late apology, everything, it confirmed me away, and then collapse the meeting because of one individual. It can be. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, there's two parts to why I raised the concern. The first is either there was disrespect to this committee.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being, when we sat there, like I said earlier on, we all were present, we all agreed that we will need another meeting for the explanations. If it wasn't that serious, we could have agreed to the DG and the CFO giving us a written explanation and we would have accepted that. But due to the sensitivity of it and the seriousness of it, we agreed to reconvene the meeting. For me, I would believe that at that point in time, the CFO's diary was clear. Because if it was not, as someone who was holding the position of the CFO, I'm sure he would not have felt threatened to have told us that he is apologizing in advance because he won't be able to make it, he has another commitment. And the fact that he was a key role player in the meeting, the committee would not have been unbiased or unduly prejudiced, we would have postponed it maybe to the week after that. Alternatively, Chair, maybe the committee is not a priority because even after agreeing to our meeting, it seems that something else came up and that became a priority for him. That's the first part. The second part, Chairperson, is that today we received this and it says the Portfolio Committee irregular expenditure. Now you can't keep on doing the same thing expecting a different outcome. DG, clearly your department seems to think that irregular expenditure is something that is a norm. It's something that you guys wake up in the morning and wash your face and brush your teeth and irregular expenditure is the very same thing. Because right now, Chairperson, surely there is no respect for public funds by this department. The fact that somebody could just send an SMS in the morning of a meeting, knowing full well that there would have been logistics, that there would have been costs incurred for accommodation and travel, and it's still nothing. You just feel it's okay. It doesn't matter. The money is not coming out of my account. We have people in this country who don't have houses and don't have jobs. And we just look at it and we just brush it on the carpet as if it doesn't matter. Somewhere, somehow, Chairperson, we need to find a way in which to hold these people accountable and to surcharge them for things like this. Because in this department it seems, irrespective of where you are and what you do, and Chair, I'm going to say to you that it is a cancer that is in the entire department. Because those of us who went on the New York study tour will know for a fact what happened when we arrived and who left. Again, it is clear, Chairperson, that there is no respect. And I think we have to deal with this. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, Chair. Surely it's the center is not holding, and I think we should not allow that saga to carry on even this year going forward. Why I'm saying that, Chair, in terms of the protocol, the DG, the CFO reports to DG. And whatever is, should be reported in this committee, if there is an apology and all those things, the DG should be the first who report that and communicate with you, Chair. Not the other way around. You can't have a dog, a tail leading a dog. It's a very difficult situation and we cannot allow it. So I want to say, Chair, going forward, the DG must really pull up his socks and lead the department. The buck stops with him at the end of the day. So, Chair, I support the report, the resolution we took, that a report must be submitted as to why there was none absence, there was none presence of the CFO. But, Chair, I want to put a rider on that one. Would also want the report to include what actions are going to be taken in terms of consequence management with regard to that matter, because we cannot just get explanation and then we are expected to be the committee who are going to recommend what actions must be taken. The report of the DG must include that, what actions are going to be taken in terms of consequence management. So therefore, I want to propose the time frame from the report. In our next meeting, we must get that report. It should not take long, so that we can move forward. The chair is absent, is asking me just to chair. I think members, we can then, after concluding on this matter, but maybe hear what the DG has to say, and then after that, then we can then get into the business of the day, get the presentation, and then engage on the matter. DG, is there anything that you want to say?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I just want to put it on record that I was expecting the CFO here on the day. The last conversation I had with him was that he was coming here, and we came all of us here. But the communication didn't come to me. I found it here. I was as frustrated as any other. And then to suggest that it may be my spinning that is about it would not be appropriate, in the sense that at that particular moment I myself was defeated by the circumstances. And I came here only to get an egg on my face, that because the last conversation is on record that I had was the CFO was preparing to come down here. And when I arrived here, I then realized that the committee meeting has been postponed. And the PLO then showed me a message that was probably sent to the chair, saying that the CFO has indicated inability to come. How could I have been liable for that one? In that then, it rendered every other effort that I would have taken moot as a result. And then I accepted that since the meeting is postponed, we'll still have to have time to have this thing. But if the committee would like us to go back to it and look, why, et cetera, it should be another thing. But I want to honestly inform the meeting that as far as I'm concerned on that day and the last time I had, was that we'll be here. We'll fly from London to Cape Town here. And I was coming from Joburg. So I was as frustrated as anyone who was coming to the meeting. And I had to accept the fate in that manner. Thank you.
Okay, I see hands, Nkosi and the Reverend, Msani, and then Mwela.
No, Chair, no, I'm not quarrelsome. I'm just saying that the DG is not obliged to give us an explanation today.
No.
What we are deciding is that the explanation should be presented in the next meeting, details. So I don't think that, because as he responds, we attempted to then rebut and the like, so it's not going to be helpful.
Okay.
So maybe we should conclude it with your summary, Chair.
Okay.
Msani?
No.
Oh, and the Reverend? Sorry.
Chairperson, firstly, I have to voice my disappointment at what appears to be a trend. One of the observations we made last year was that the CFO does not appear to be complying and submitting to the leadership of the DG. There is a question of insubordination, and by now I think something, action should have been taken because of that insubordination. The fact that the DG expected him to be here and he was also as surprised as we were that he was not here is shocking.
Yeah.
And if members of the department who were aware of insubordination, maybe they can also make their inputs to strengthen the case, because you cannot lead a team that does not adhere to rules, a team that does not respect your authority. And what we are hearing this morning again confirms what we are hearing last year, that definitely the CFO is not cooperating with the DG. And so he has to explain why he does not want to submit to the leadership of the CFO of the DG. Because for us, when the chairperson to be informed that he is not here when the DG expects him to be here, is totally unacceptable. Totally unacceptable. So we also have to look at what kind of sanction has to be taken. Thank you.
Honorable Sani.
Thank you, Chairperson. I want to concur with the previous speaker. He took my words out of my mouth, because it should be on record that this is not the first time, second time, third or fourth time that the CFO is defying instructions and not reporting to his superior. So I would also want us as a committee to say that we are becoming toothless. We are becoming a broken record. We will not see change in the next 5 years, Chairperson, if we do not act decisively now. So I want us as a piece, as a portfolio committee, to take a step that will make sure that this incident never happens again, because I am literally tired with every meeting this portfolio committee has to discuss the behavior of CFO, which is disrespecting this portfolio committee. And I refuse to belong to a portfolio committee that is toothless. Thank you very much.
Mwela?
No, Chair, Acting Chair. I think colleagues have covered me. You see, DG, we are going to fight you as the head, as the DG of the department, whether you are right or wrong, because you are the first person in terms of administration. So Tine will fight with you. If when you can't fight with your people, then it's not our problem. It can't be, and it can't be our problem. Now, you see what you're telling us now, Tine, we're not aware that we even got a surprise when you came here to the meeting. We were not even aware. And clearly, I said earlier on, it's a matter of undermining. And, you know, I'm not going to allow anyone to undermine us. Not now, not tomorrow, not ever. It will undermine us probably when our term of office has ended, but not now, not when we're still in office.
through you, Chair, I want to propose that can they excuse us just for 2 minutes? Because I feel very strong that there are issues that we need to handle. If they can please, all of them, excuse us so that we finalize a few issues, I think it will be fine. Chair.
Chair, before I hand it over to you, then they are proposing a caucus, and then I think, Chair, you can take over from there.
Okay.
I think members are supporting each other.
I support it, Chair.
Chief Shane, may you and the team please excuse us, come back at 11. It's quarter at 11 now. Then, 11.
Honorable members, we are going to allow the CFO to present the report. Teaching.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I will accordingly defer to the CFO. Suffice to say, we have attempted to provide responses in relation to all the matters that the committee has raised arising from the previous presentation, and we are all a team that will each take specifics when they come up so that we completely respond to the whole set of issues that emanate from our respective areas. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Good morning, members. Chairperson, I want to put a preface on this presentation that I made on the 30th of October. This presentation, Honorable Chair, is an extract of the department management report. It is not the report that comes from the CFO. It is the report that was prepared by all senior managers that are responsible for each village. So if it's supply chain, the input, Honorable Che, was prepared by the chief director, which is Mr. Marshall. So as a CFO, I never added a single sentence or a comment in that regard, Honorable members. So this is not the report for the CFO. It is the presentation of the Department of International Relations management report after the audit. That is summarizing the audit report. So these are the detailed findings that were identified by the Auditor General in the year 18-19 financial. So it is not something that I prepared myself. So did you, with your permission, I don't know whether you can allow that the Chief Director
information.
Yes, Honorable Gordon. Okay.
I think we have a problem. We have a very serious problem. I'm looking at this report of the 30th of October. It says, briefing to the portfolio committee, Mr. C. Ramashau, and then SCMA, CGMA, CFO, and DG. So why are you saying it's not your report? Because if it's not your report, it can be presented by any other person here. But you are authoring the report. In other words, you take ownership of the report, whether and how it has come about. The final product sits with you as a CFO chair. So the final product chair sits with the CFO, who takes responsibility for the overall financial management of the department. However it has been generated, if it has been generated by somebody in Singapore, in Senten, or Ikayama Milodi, the final responsibility is with the CFO, and we are interacting with it on the basis. We know it's a departmental presentation, but the person who takes ownership of that report is the CFO. You can't distance yourself. So who are we going to ask questions? We're going to ask these people to come and answer that they've generated, even the junior of most junior officials in the department have come and answer on this report. Unacceptable, sir. I think unacceptable.
We are not going to argue about that thing. So I don't want us to be dragged into a level which we don't belong to. All we want here is a presentation of the report which the CFO presented to us on the 30th of October. You came here alone, all by yourself, to present a report on the 30th of October. And this is the report that you are going to present again today. That's what we are saying. So present the report, Mhlekazi, so that we move with our meeting.
Thank you, Chair. The report covers the areas that were identified as findings in the audit management report for 18-19, management of cash and cash equivalents, to misstatement of financial statements, AG supply chain management findings summary, asset management, diplomatic bank contract, New York pilot projects. Let's move. So the report covers the current operating model in terms of the transfer of funds between head office and missions is performed manually, so which we say we don't have a system that is managing that, like we have in South Africa. We've got our bus system. So during the migration process from cash accounting to modified cash,
what's happening?
some of these things are cut off. You see these things going up and then later then we can't read them.
Aye, Honorable Lekota, look at your presentation. Look at your hard copy.
I'm sorry, during the migration for cash accounting to modified cash accounting, the department did not change the accounting procedure on the treatment of funds transferred. During the 89 audit, AG noted that there were inadequate reconciliation performed as well as inadequate internal controls implemented, which management concurred and attributed to the following reasons. Say, A, there was lack of capacity constraints within the unit that manages cash and cash, inadequate segregation of duties, inadequate quality assurance and monitoring, which was performed at a level of an assistant director, incongruent skill set as a result of the department training and placement processes to machines and head office that is open to all officials, which does not encourage specialization, so, which I indicated that anyone who is in the department coming from a specific job, after completing certain number of years, they will qualify to go for a training, and then they will then be appointed to or placed in a mission abroad as corporate service managers or assistant corporate managers in terms of the process. So then the other part that we also noted was a lack of clarity in reporting lines for strategic support unit, which support the line function branches. This is headed by a director. So they manage, they're supposed to manage the expenditure that is incurred in missions. Lack or absence of integrated financial management system, which remain a challenge, that we don't have a system. So in terms of the activity that we then committed as a department is to develop a cash and cash equivalent standard operating procedure in relation to, one, we say analyze all missions that contributed to the findings with the purpose of clearing the accounts, but also to identify the root cause for these differences. So in terms of the responsibility, the financial management of the department rests with the chief director, financial management, which then have directories that are segregated to perform that task. So in terms of the developing new system description and internal controls for cash and cash equivalent, that responsibility was then assigned to a director. In the past, we have director management accounting who was also performing this task. So we then add another director to then oversee that process, which then happened on the 16th of November. Then in terms of the second activity, to develop cash and cash equivalent standard operating procedure in relation to the develop and issue a directive to all end users on the develop cash and cash equivalent standard operating procedure. So we then communicated this to all officials within the department so that they then understand the new way of operating and then identify risk and communicate remedial action for implementation by machines, which is basically in terms of oversight, is been assigned to the director costing management. And then the other part is the record receipts of funds on the cash book in line with the new standard system description. So as I indicated, in terms of the cash standard that we're using in the past, the funds that were transferred in machines in the cash book that we have developed was not interfacing back to head office. So in terms of that was recorded manually, which then caused a challenges in terms of reconciling. Grant approval for any intermission transfer or withdrawals in missions, as you see that in Syria, which I give example in Tehran, where we've got sanctions, means that there will not be any money that will be transferred electronically. It means that they must be assisted by machines that are nearby. In this case, we then indicate that Dubai is the mission that helps machines as part of intercompany transfers, which they do that. They collect cash and also they pay allowances for the officials that are stationed in Terra, where they have no ability to operate a bank account. And submit proof of intermission transfers and withdrawals to head office. So we said in terms of the confirmation, because we don't have an integrated financial management system, we then developed that all machines that perform these transfers, they must then submit proof so that it can be managed by the director in terms of the reconciliation. Then continue to perform a reconciliation of funds transferred and dispersed, as I indicated that is with withdrawal, and submit the reconciliation to the CFO on a monthly basis so that we take note of that. And honorable members, just to note that in terms of our systems, we only receive the report on expenditure for mission on a monthly basis. We don't have a real-time system where transactions are performed today and will appear on the financial records. So the system has been designed to only interface at the at the month end when the transaction is closed. And then we said we need to request bank accounts confirmed and operated by the department biannually. So what we're mitigating is the risk where the delegation of this function was done by the accountant. We said no, the head of mission as well as the corporate service manager must then request biannually the statement of the bank that they're operating so that we can able to have a reconciliation performed adequately. Grant access to machine cash management system to download and access reports. So we say we're increasing the another layer in terms of oversight, the SSU. These are the team that support the machines to say they have that layer in terms of monitoring. And submit the report on funds transferred to Chief Director Financial Management. This is basically part of the additional control that you want to see the reconciliation perform. And then perform an analysis of petty cash foreign transactions, which is basically in the past, the department used to operate the foreign petty cash in terms of our subsistence and travel, where money will be requested from the bank, and then officially when they travel, they will be given that cash. So now that process was done outside the personal system, which then in the bus, which must then be done manually. So in terms of the aggregated part, so but this part has been discontinued. DPC has come with different directives that money must be paid in the bank account of the officials, not to carry cash, which we have implemented that. But we are looking at that foreign transaction for the past financial year. Perform reconciliation on petty cash transactions. We do have petty cash in satellite offices where they buy small items. And then the other part, to initiate change management of the MCS. This is our financial system, which is basically keeping records to configure to have a enable direct interface. That's the part that I was saying. The funds that have been transferred, we then wanted to do that part. Conduct pilot testing on the systems upgrade for direct interface with Americas and Caribbean region, which basically that is the task that we have set for ourselves, and then we roll out the direct interface of funds transferred, which we're trying to do the automation. So that is the part of the cash. Then when we move to the misstatement of financial statements, is that in terms of the record, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, that the transactions that are processed in machines, as I indicated, there is a delay in reporting period, which what we receive a cash book, and we don't have the detailed transactions in terms of the supporting documents. So when the auditor goes and visit machines, then they then identify things that were not done in line with the standards. So that has an impact on the presentation of the financial statements. And when it comes out in the way that the finance team is not competent. But the root cause, Honorable Chair, is that the information that comes from the missions is the one that causes the challenges in terms of the quality of transactions that are performed. When we find that, now when we're doing the midterm review, we then found that there's a viable, to give an example, that a transaction that was 58 rand. And indeed, you can't buy a car for 58 rand. So we found that when we go into the detail, we then find that there was a flag that was bought in terms of isosceles, which doesn't meet the definition of an asset. So those are the issues that we are dealing with in terms of how do we correct those. Because if now it is a flag that is put as an asset, then it also has an impact on the asset register that we prepare at the end of the financial year. So which require that there must be due care that is exercised in terms of the information that we process. So what we then, the management department concur with these findings, which are attributed to the following: lack of integrated financial system, delay of submission of monthly returns from mission, which hampers quality assurance, and capacity constraint within head office and missions in terms of the oversight. Then the other bullet is adequate supervision of workflow due to vacancies at supervisory levels, inadequate quality assurance and monitoring of compliance, incongruent skill sets as a result of the department training and placement process to mission and head office that is open to all officials, which does not encourage specialization. So by this we mean that, as I indicated in my introduction, that everyone who comes into the department at some point will qualify to attend training, even if they are HR specialists or they were security, they will be able to come through the training in the department without any prior knowledge or prior skill in the environment. So if there's no level where you say somebody has gone through this, except the training that we offer, and we then give that responsibility without any supervision, because in missions we don't have enough manpower, we've got few people there in terms of the work. So if they are on leave, the third secretary will then assume full responsibility in terms of the management of finances, which we see that as a challenge. Then we then look at the reconfiguring the system to ensure that there is no spending affected without availability of budget. This is very difficult, Honorable Chair, based on the fact that we rely on what the other party is doing, the mission. So it means that they spend the money from their side. They don't look as permission to spend. So like in head office, any spending that need to happen, it will happen with initiated through supply chain. So which means that you are a more centralized department like any other national department. But with missions, the delegated authority, they can spend as much as they want if they don't follow the rules. So which is difficult in terms of how that is enforced, because anyone will be able to then perform whatever function because it's within their ambit. So we can only detect later, but as I indicated, that the detection is not effective as we don't have a system that allow us to do that on real time. The grant access to the MCS to exercise oversight on mission spending, so this is what we've developed to say we need to have a control in terms of what we need to do. Then develop competency framework for financial practitioners. So we are saying, honorable members, that the competency framework for financial practitioners is for the people that work in the branch that I lead. But as I indicated, the challenge is the way the transactions are originating in missions. To say is that we need to then look at how best we improve the training that we're offering, and I think we then need to have a process where we have on-job training that is longer, that people, before they can go, they should have demonstrated in terms of their performance that they understand what is going to be their additional responsibility, especially when we then take people from other disciplines in terms of that. So then they conduct a skills audit and subsequent training for head office and missions, which is basically the recommendation that was made by this committee on several occasions to say how do we then deal with that. The skills audit, as I indicated, it should not only focus on the work of the finance team at head office, but it should then focus to everyone who's got a responsibility of performing certain tasks that are financial related matter in terms of how we need to address that. Then the commitment was also to conduct work study for head office and missions. So in terms of what level, and the challenge is that we can increase the numbers as we do have a composite employee ceilings, so it means that we must do more with less. So which means that there is a requirement of to upskill the team to be at a level that they can able to assist us to improve. Then in terms of the supply chain, we've listed the areas that contributed, which basically extracted from the management report, which in head office said deviation, approval requirements not met, functionality criteria not used in evaluation process, irregular expenditure identified, which we indicated that the chartering of flight, which they mentioned the supplier there, so African Airways flight use in contravention of the ministerial handbook, award not approved by the delegated official, evaluation and adjudication criteria not stated in the terms of reference, goods and services procured outside the scope of the contract, venue, facility, services procured through a travel agent meant for travel management services procured from partner departments. And then we continue to irregular expenditure, multi-choice, irregular expenditure, incomplete and inaccurate disclosure, irregular expenditure, incomplete disclosure in the annual financial statements, irregular expenditure, Italia, Tile and Deco, no contract with supplier, travel with flair, disregard of supply chain processes, supply chain management prescript not followed, machine expenditure on behalf of other department, three quotation not obtained for goods and services. So in terms of how we then look at, say, deviation, approval requirements not met. So this is AG finding number one, as we put, that the Treasury granted the department a conditional deviation on condition that paragraph 8.4 of the National Treasury Supply Chain Instruction Note number 3 of 2016-17 is complied with. The department did not comply with the conditions stipulated by National Treasury, as only one supplier, Open Water, was invited to bid. The request was approved by the accounting officer and the internal audit. Internal control deficiency that was identified, that the Director General did not take the necessary steps to ensure that all the conditions stipulated by National Treasury were adhered to prior to the finalization of the contract. Management intervention include transactions in the irregular expenditure register, develop deviation check checklist, SEF, and internal audit to check compliance before approval by the DG. So number two, functionality criteria not used in evaluation process. A request for quotation, RFQ, for catering for diplomatic corps was issued with functionality requirement. Destiny, cuisine, 253,161 was then awarded. The request was only evaluated on price and BEE without functionality being assessed. So in terms of the request for quotation, the regulation allows the Director General to approve to set procurement for 500 and below, less than 500, which then you don't need to have a price and BEE. So which basically this was an omission on the part where the request for condition was requested. So it was not what should have been put as part of the evaluation criteria. And then the internal control deficiency, the chief director supply chain management did not enforce controls to monitor the compliance with laws and regulations. Management intervention include transactions in the irregular expenditure register, include evaluation criteria assessment in the supply chain management checklist, supply chain senior official to check for compliance before approval, which basically that the all orders are your head office are issued by supply chain. So there is no, it means that all orders that are issued should have been supported by valid supporting documents that indeed they meet the all the requirements for the payment to be made. Then the irregular expenditure identified, executive jet, the deviation was recommended by the CFO and approved by the Director General. The deviation was not approved by National Treasury as required. So in terms of the requirement is that any procurement that is above 500,000 must be an invitation of competitive bidding process. So it means that there should be a tender issued. If the tender, if there is impractical to do that, it means that there must be a deviation request that goes to National Treasury and allow the department to proceed in that regard. So the charter flights that were flagged noted for Algiers, 1.7 million. Charter flight for Addis, 774,000. And charter flight for Addis, 1.2 million. Internal control deficiency, as identified by the Auditor General, the Director General did not take the necessary steps to ensure that all the conditions stipulated by National Treasury were adhered to prior to the finalization of the award. Management intervention include transaction in the irregular expenditure register, monthly checks of new treasury practice note to be distributed to all officials within 3 days, SEM to check for compliance before approval. Then South African Airways force flight used in contravention of the ministerial handbook swift flight. The minister's trip for political party gala dinner was noted as an official trip, even though it does not meet the requirements of the official trip. The deviation was approved by the Director General.
What's the joke now? What's happening?
Internal control deficiency. The Director General did not ensure that all the expenditure incurred on behalf of the minister is in line with the benefits and privileges to which members of the executives are entitled to. Management intervention include transaction in the irregular expenditure register, standard operating for executive travel privileges to be drafted and to indicate which instances warrant charter flights. EG to check for compliance before approval. Award not approved by delegated officials. The acting CFO, Chief Director of Property Management, did not sign the submission, nor was it indicated on the option available whether the award is approved, not approved, or approved as amended. Minister's engagement with DECO mail staff on 11 December 2018 still went ahead without the approval. Internal control deficiency, the Chief Director Supply Chain did not enforce the internal controls in place to ensure that procurement only go ahead after the approval by the acting CFO, thereby ensuring compliance with the approved policies. Management intervention include transaction in the irregular expenditure register, no services to be rendered without approval, and no order to be generated. SEM to check the to check for compliance before approval. Evaluation and adjudication criteria note stated the terms of reference sent by the department to the dealership did not have an evaluation and adjudication criteria to be used for the procurement of official vehicle for the Deputy Minister. The Chief Director of Supply Chain did not enforce controls to monitor the compliance with laws and regulations due to lack of oversight. Management intervention include transaction in the irregular expenditure register, include evaluation criteria assessment in the SCM checklist for terms of reference prior to advertising quotation. Terms of reference to be issued by supply chain only to check for compliance prior to sending. Then goods and services, service procured outside the scope of the contract, venue and facility services procured through a travel agent meant for travel arrangement services. DECO was interested in utilizing the service of a travel agent, travel with flair, secured by Department of Housing, as DECO had no travel arrangement for the minister on her arrival in March 2018. The Department of Housing approved that DECO participates in the contracts required with travel with flair, and DECO can utilize the services for the travel agent for the minister's travel arrangement only. DECO did not obtain written approval from the travel agent, giving them permission to participate in the contract as required by treasury regulations. DECO procured venue and facilities services as well as catering services with travel flair. The transaction was not within the scope of the contract required by Department of Housing for travel with flair. There were no supporting documents for the multiple transaction entered into. Internal control deficiencies as identified by the AG, that the DDG Office of the Minister did not ensure that the travel agent is only used for procurement of travel arrangement services as per the agreement with Department of Housing. Due to oversight over the procurement process. Management intervention include transaction in the irregular expenditure register, amend policy to indicate requirements for contract participation, DG and sub-SEM, and to check the compliance before approval. Irregular expenditure multi-choice. Multi-choice was appointed for DSTV premium services for the residence of the minister. Furthermore, the department paid for 3 annual subscriptions for 2 official residences. This is in contravention of the ministerial handbook in 2018, as DSTV subscriptions were not required to be paid by the department. The director, supply chain management, did not ensure that all the expenditure incurred on behalf of the minister is in line with the benefits and privileges to which members of the executive are entitled to. Management intervention include transactions in the irregular expenditure register, include prescript that regulation compliance in the SEM checklist, SEM to check for compliance before approval. Irregular expenditure, incomplete and inaccurate disclosure, certain machine irregular expenditure were not included in the irregular expenditure register and therefore not disclosed in the annual financial statement. Irregular expenditure was disclosed at incorrect value in the irregular expenditure register, and the final disclosed amount as per the annual financial statement were incorrect. Irregular expenditure was disclosed at inconsistent amounts from the machine reports to the irregular expenditure register. Internal control deficiency. The director policy internal control failed to ensure that the irregular register supporting the amount disclosed on the annual financial statement was accurate, calculated due to the lack of oversight. Included transaction in the management intervention that include transaction in the irregular expenditure register. BAS is basic accounting system report to be printed quarterly to update irregular expenditure. Corporate Service Manager, CSM, to take responsibility for reporting inaccurate, incomplete, irregular expenditure admissions. Irregular expenditure, incorrect disclosure in annual financial statement, irregular expenditure incurred in the prior financial year were incorrectly disclosed in the annual financial statement as irregular expenditure relating to the current year instead of being disclosed as irregular expenditure relating to the prior. Internal control deficiency. The Chief Director of Financial Management did not implement any effective system to monitor controls over the identification and disclosure of irregular expenditure due to lack of accountability to address previous reported deficiency. Management intervention prior disclosure to be monitored quarterly. Then the irregular expenditure, Tile and Deco, the specification did not include the evaluation and adjudication criteria for the award. The request was awarded on price only. This resulted in non-compliance with treasury regulations and preferential procurement policy framework. The recommended bidder was registered on CSD after approval, and they did not complete the SBD 4. The chief financial officer did not take adequate steps to ensure that all procurement laws and regulations were complied with. Management intervention include transaction in the irregular expenditure register, include evaluation criteria assessment and CFD registration in the checklist, supply checklist for terms of reference prior to advertising quotation. SEM to check for compliance before approval. No contract with supplier travel flare. DECO made use of the travel agent services since March 2018 before approval was obtained from the Director Housing in July 2018. This is contrary to the requirements as the approval was only obtained after the participation award started. DECO made use of the travel agent services and payments were made to the supplier without DECO obtaining written approval from the travel agent, giving them permission to participate in the contract as required by Treasury. Internal control divisions, the Director General did not ensure that approval is obtained from the service provider when participating in a contract through other organ of state, and approval is obtained from Department of Housing and the services provider before utilizing the services. Management intervention include transactions in the irregular expenditure register, amend to policy to indicate requirements for contract participation, DG, SCM and CFO to check the compliance before approval. Disregard of supply chain processes. Clear Choice Builders was appointed without following SEM prescript and outside of SEM processes. There was no SEM process followed and no tender process was followed. Advertised tender that was to address this request was cancelled after Public Works was asked to take over the renovation. National Treasury was not approached for approval or deviation from competitive bidding as required by the regulation. Furthermore, the award was not approved by the delegated official at DECO as required by the financial regulation. It was rejected at bid adjudication committee, a BAC meeting, based on the stated reasons. Internal control deficiency, the Director General and the Chief Financial Officer did not take reasonable steps to ensure that all department procurement is implemented through the supply chain unit. The internal controls the department has in place have been rendered ineffective through the willingness to override these internal controls by management. Management intervention, DG's office to issue a circular that confirms that that is only supply chain unit that is allowed to perform SEM function in the department. Investigation to be conducted as per irregular expenditure framework. DG to implement consequence management for responsible official. Missions, supply chain management prescript not adhered to, three conditions not obtained, no deviation document and approved for deviation from the SEM prescript. Mission management did not ensure that all SEM prescripts are adhered to when procuring goods and services. Management intervention in group transaction in irregular expenditure register, CFO to issue a circular that indicates processes to be followed for deviation in the missions. Expenditure on behalf of other departments, three conditions not obtained for goods and services procured for partner department during the during the mission audit, it was noted that three quotations were not obtained for the expenditure incurred on behalf of other department. Mission internal control divisions, mission management did not ensure that all SCM prescripts are adhered to when procuring goods and services. Management intervention include transactions in the irregular expenditure register, CFO, to issue a circular that indicate processes to be followed for deviation in the mission. Asset management. Summary of asset management findings: incomplete asset register, asset physically verified, recorded not recorded in the fixed asset register. Existence of asset, asset not recorded in the fixed asset register, could not be physically verified, did not have barcodes to confirm their existence. Obsolete asset still recorded in the fixed asset register. Audit findings from previous financial not addressed. Discrepancies noted on the submitted annual financial statement. Incomplete asset register, asset physical verified, recorded or not recorded in the physical asset register. Existence of asset, asset recorded in the fixed asset, it could not be physically verified, did not have barcodes to confirm the existence. Obsolete assets still recorded in the VR, audit, what not addressed from the previous year, discrepancies noted in the financials. So the internal control deficiency, the chief director supply chain did not implement adequate asset management controls that include reconciliation between fiscal assets and what is accounted for on the fixed asset register. Root cause, no electronic asset management system, with the result that the department used an Excel template as a fixed asset register. The template has limited capacity to process voluminous data. DECO front, a fixed asset register is too big with more than 186,000 assets. The template leaves no audit trail to change for changes recorded to the fixed asset register, no integration with the mission cash book system, and hence reconciliation were done manually. The template does not have adequate management reporting capabilities. The template is not adequate to maintain a reliable fixed asset register, hence the auditor general could not place reliance on it. Capacity constraint within the asset management unit, inadequate supervision of workflow due to vacancies that supervisor at supervisor level, incongruent skill sets as a result of the department training and placement processes between machine and head office that does not encourage specialization, limited capacity within the unit due to high vacancy rate. Manual physical asset verification leads to machines using different version of the fixed asset register, resulting in the quality of the verification and reconciliation process being compromised. The department did not have a computer-assisted audit system CAS used for quality assurance of data, hence official had to develop alternative methods for quality assurance. Implement electronic asset management system, which is the management intervention to achieve the following: improved data integrity, audit trail for the updates for the asset register interface between the fixed asset register, which is now NetRace, and the financial management system, which is MCS, to enhance reconciliation of asset addition and disposal. Improve management reporting capabilities, built in internal control and segregation of duties, quality assurance of data through internal audit using the computer assisted audit technique CATS, and then the real time electronic asset verification and update on the fixed asset register. Then conduct biannual fiscal asset verification with the following focus: enhance quality of asset verification, online reconciliation and interface of the asset verification result, extensive analysis, reconciliation of data, timers follow-up and clearing of exception, quality assurance of the of asset verification process and data through internal audit using, among other, the computer audit assist techniques. A CATS correction of all errors identified through the through the audit process, monthly reporting to management, head of mission, heads of branches, CFO, and the Director General. Conduct intensive asset management training to the following categories of officials that are responsible for asset management of team at head office, official nominated for posting a CSM and third secretary, corporate services, official attending mission admin course, as well as foreign assistant admin course training, e-learning program to official already saving abroad as CSM and third secretary, corporate service managers. Continuous asset management training through DTRD. Address all AG and internal audit findings and inconsistencies in the FAR related to existence of asset, completeness of the fixed asset register, discrepancies noted on the submitted annual financial statement, asset disposal, all other asset related findings. Diplomatic bank. Current contract. The current contract was awarded for a year for 9,921,050 rand. The contract was varied in terms of extension for further 763,204.25 for a month at 7%. Treasury was approached for further variation for 3 months. September to November, at 2,292,105.63 rand, which amounted to 23% variation. The new contract, the new bid, DECO, was advertised on the 6th September 2019 and was closed on the 17th October. It was evaluated on the 31st. Of October and adjudicated on the second week of November. So that is the report. Then six, New York pilot project. In 2012-13, department identified New York as a priority area for the acquisition of a chancery, given its strategic importance as multilateral mission and seat of the United Nations, the high cost of rental, and South Africa's intention to increase its presence in the UN and the Security Council. The lease agreement for the Chancery in New York, which is signed through the consulate, was terminated in 2014 based on the fact that the landlord, the property exchange hands, moved from SL Green to New York University, which they indicate they want to use the building for other purposes. Given its stated intention to acquire properties and the cost of relocation, DECO decided to remain in the premises under a month-to-month holdover agreement with the landlord. In the contract that was signed, in things not mistaken, in 1993, had a holdover agreement that if the machine is not moving when the contract expires, then the holdover means that it will be double rent in terms of the payment that would be requested by the landlord at the point. Then during the period 2013-2015, two attempts to purchase an existing building in New York failed due to the fast pace of the property market in New York, the lengthy decision-making process to acquire immovable asset, the cost of properties available, and the inevitable premium placed on properties when bought by a foreign government. National Treasury approved in 2014 that DECO may enter into financial leases, and in 2015 that DECO may pursue lease to buy an operational lease transaction in terms of the Treasury Regulation 13.2.4. Terms of reference for the appointment of a development partner for the design, construction, operation, maintenance, and finance of suitable and sustainable office and residence accommodation for the RSA diplomatic missions in Manhattan, New York, was developed in March 2016. The terms of reference was recommended by the bid specification committee and subject to a risk review and legal review prior to approval by the accounting officer in March 2016. The bid was advertised in the tender bulletin for 6 weeks. Bids received at the closing date were evaluated by the bid evaluation committee and recommended. A recommendation made by the bid adjudication committee was approved by the accounting officer in May 2016. TICO appointed Smaker and Regiment joint venture as a preferred bidder subject to the successful conclusion of a lease agreement and due diligence. The Smaker Regiment bid listed possible sites for the development. In June 2016, the executive approved a property located in East 43 Street and 2nd Avenue. This property consisted of three townhouses together with air rights to be demolished and the land used for the new chancery. So in terms of the identification of the property that we need to buy in foreign, the delegation to be the minister, which is consistent with our public works, do there in terms of GM. A due diligence of the property undertaken by Smaker and Regiment revealed the historical significance of the land. Furthermore, the preferred bidder reported that it failed to reach acceptable commercial terms with the seller and requested permission to pursue alternative sites. Parallel to the site identification, DECO and the preferred bidder engaged in negotiations on the lease agreement to be signed. In this process, the preferred bidder advised that further treasury approvals are required as the transaction is in essence a finance lease. DECO approached the treasury in November 2016 and requested approval to proceed as such. Treasury requested the sight of all procurement documents in early December 2016. On the 15th December 2016, National Treasury granted DECO exemption from Triple P Regulation 16T, Treasury Approval 1 and Treasury Approval 2, A and B, and requested DECO to prepare a Treasury Approval 3 application, which should include a final draft Triple P agreement, a final draft nominee agreement, final financial model, including contingent liabilities and impact of foreign exchange rate movements, a Triple P contract management plan, documentation indicating the preferred bidder's capacity and track record. In March 2017, the executive approved an alternative property located in 211 and 215 East 38th Street and 3rd Avenue. This property consists of brownstone building to be demolished and the land used for the new chancery development. DECO had the preferred bidder negotiated project preparation agreement, which aimed at to secure the land for the development, undertake the due diligence on the land, obtain the necessary development proposals, complete the concept design of the facility. The above deliverables were directly related to the Treasury Approval 3 as required, three requirements listed by Treasury. The preparation agreement reviewed by OXLA, which is our Office of State, Chief State Law Advisor, and OXLA Legal Advisor was present during the final negotiation prior to the PPA being finalized. The preparation agreement was approved and signed by the accounting officer. Under the preparation agreement, DECO made a payment of $9 million to the preferred bidder, of which $5 million. I want to correct that $5 million was for the use as a deposit to secure the land, not $5 million. Following the conclusion of the preparation agreement, the preferred bidder signed a purchase and sale agreement for the property and paid a refundable, it was non-refundable deposit of $5 million, not $4 million, which was refundable deposit at the time. The purchase price for the land was $47,850,000, thousand. The preferred bidder completed all deliverables under the pre-purchase agreement, including the land due diligence. No impediments were found on the land, at which time the deposit became non-refundable, which is the closing date for the land transaction, which is in the time when the balance comes due and payable, was 27 September 2017. The U.S. State Department approved the land purchase in August 2017. DIGO completed its treasury approval 3 application and submitted it together with all the documents required in the treasury letter of December 2016 in August 2017. As at end September 2017, the TA3 was still awaited, which had the effect that the land transaction could not be concluded, and an addendum was concluded, moving the closing date to October 2017. In October 2017, DIGO responded to the National Treasury question emanating from the project, including the affordability. On the 16th October 2017, 17 months after the preferred bidder was appointed, and $9 million was spent, the National Treasury alerted DIGO to perceived irregularities in the appointment of the preferred bidder in relation to evaluation criteria not subdivided to allow PAC members to score objectively, Liputin investment incorrectly disqualified, failure by Simeka to disclose that they are in a joint venture agreement quoting different company registration number, joint venture appointed whereas bidder was Simeka Group. DIGO responded to these concerns with evidence during the month of October 27 to January 2018. The TA3 agreement remained outstanding, approval remained outstanding, which necessitated that several amendments for the purchase and sale agreement to be extended, that the land in terms of the land closing date. In an effort to secure funding from the land, the preferred bidder approached the lenders in the U.S. and proposed that the RSA sign a letter of credit to allow the land payment to be made. In January 2018, National Treasury indicated that the unresolved procurement issues precludes it from issuing a Treasury Approval 3. National Treasury advised DIGO to decide whether to continue the land transaction and incur irregular expenditure or to cancel the transaction, which will result in fruitless and wasteful expenditure. At the same time, the Budget Office in National Treasury confirms that $20 million was available from DIGO budget for drawing to pay the balance of the purchase price in 2 tranches. The preferred bidder addressed legal communication to the accounting officer from January 2018. In June 2018, the seller reminded the preferred bidder that the final date for payment is 2nd July 2018, whereafter the land will be lost and the deposit forfeited. DIGO decided to review its decision to appoint the preferred bidder and instituted motion proceedings in the Gauteng High Court in October 2018 to set the appointment aside and to recover the $9 million paid. Smeka in turn instituted an action proceedings against DIGO in October 2018, requesting the High Court to direct the department to honor its obligation contained in the tender award, alternatively claiming damages in the amount of $598,606,379.82 plus interest for loss of income, profit, and out-of-pocket costs. The matter is before the court, say, so adjudicated. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and the presentation that I made. Thank you.
Ooh.
Thank you very much, CFO, for the presentation. You see, this presentation, did you left before, or you were there in that meeting? I'm confusing it with this other meeting where you left and rushed for a flight. DJ, I'm interested to know, Uba, how did you let a presentation out of the walls of Derco, which had so much gossip about other colleagues, and allow the situation where the CFO would come alone and present a report that is complicating many people, even the former minister of Derco? CMC, DG, minister, I still remember on page 27, I noted that DDG office on issues of travel with fare, a SCM was implicated, a SCM on issues of multi-choice, internal policy controls, everything, Kinje. So there's a lot that the report communicated with us as it was presented on that day. You see, when the CFO raised the point about the missions which are not adhering to a tree code system, so something came to my mind. Something came to my mind, but it's an issue for another day. Because we went to New York, Honorable Reverend, we went to New York and we saw a building, two buildings. And the one was approved by the department as a building. But we have a video of that. It's a parking lot. I want to show you when we present our New York report. We'll show you a building as approved by the department. But when you go there physically, you find a parking lot. Kibile parking lot is 100 times better. If you watch those movies of thugs that kill people and dump them, it's like a dumping site of murdered persons in a movie. But we are not there. And now missions are. And the mission had recommended a particular building. And that building was not approved. Instead, a parking lot was preferred. I'm happy that the AG's office is represented in this meeting. I think you must give them the copy of this presentation so that the AG can see the contradictions between what they had presented to the committee and what is reflected here. On this, and on New York, Advocate DeVertu, we said that you must be part of this meeting because in our last presentation we were told that Chief State Law Advisor has been part of the processes from the onset. Particularly on the New York. And that was a shocker to us. We were shocked, like the DG, when he was shocked in our last meeting. You know, so that's why we said you must be part of this meeting. Supply chain management, very much implicated on the report. Are they here, DG?
Yes.
Very much implicated on the report. I have a note on slide 48, Chief Director, Supply Chain Management, slide 46, 44, many slides, it's you, NJ, generally. So we had, through the slides, you were automatically invited. So you are here in this meeting as a result of the invitation by the slides which were presented to the portfolio committee. So that's why you are all here today. Surely now you understand why you are here with your team, DG. So we would want to... I think... when your team is responding, did she? You are going to start. So slide 13 deals with you as a DG, and then from slide 17, all the other slides. His supply chain management did not enforce controls to monitor the compliance with laws and regulations. Supply chain management. Oh, ngathi yonke le document. So I'm hoping that you had perused the presentation with your team. Already you've got responses because you had 2 months to respond to all these things that are here as presented to us. You must know, okay, I must always remind you that you squander public funds, Parliament will always hold you accountable. From this portfolio committee, SCOPA is waiting for you there. There's a red carpet there in comfortable seats waiting for you. And the whole country will be watching because media likes that particular portfolio committee. We are not going to leave this thing lying. Otherwise, we wouldn't be executing our mandate as members of parliament. I remember in one caucus of our political party, the president came there. In his input, he said, the portfolio committees in parliament must hold the departments accountable and the members of the executive accountable without fear of favor, nor fear of contradictions thereof. So we're given an extra mandate to our legal mandate as per the rules of parliament. So we are here. To hold the department accountable. That's our responsibility. Now, whoever sees this as a kangaroo court, that person shame. Akasela manza kole because we are doing our own work. If people feel that this committee is in fact not fair, hey, we are not fair to ourselves, Nat, because we are expected to execute our responsibilities and report to our different chief whips in this parliament, Honorable Chetty, now I'm saying, Akir, submit reports on what we do. Our portfolio now is busy with 100 days in office. And that report is going to be submitted to the political parties that we represent in this portfolio. I can imagine when that report is in the hands of Democratic Alliance and EFF, they are going to make you run like headless chickens. The ANC might be sympathetic, shame, but those ones, I can assure you, we are going to run like headless chickens. They won't have mercy. Ne? So I want to get you to respond, but before I give you to respond, DG, slide 21. There. Yes, you are going to respond today, and all of us, you must leave here satisfied with your response. Slide 21. We don't want wishy-washing in that response. We want facts, empirical evidence, if there is. Otherwise, we won't leave this meeting. There, we want a response, not a spin doctoring. One day response. So you must know exactly so that your political wishy-washing and spin doctoring doesn't arise when you are responding. I'm going to give members of parliament an opportunity to have a bite on this presentation. And then we'll allow you and your team, DG, to respond on all the issues of concern. Honorable Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to find out, would it not also...
Slide 21, DG, not 27. Slide 21. Did you note that?
Thanks, Chair. Chair, I just want to find out, will it not be proper after the DG responds to the slide 21 that you directed him to, that they respond to all of those concerns and questions that were raised on the 30th? Because I painstakingly sat here trying to pull out teeth with pliers, having to listen to the entire presentation again. But I duly and humbly succumbed myself to your request, and I sat here. So I think the first point of departure, because they took notes at that meeting, so they should start with that, and thereafter, us as members will come with our follow-up, Chairperson. Because there's no sense in us now raising these questions, and then they're going to tell us they have to go back and get information from those subordinates of theirs, and those junior officials, or those secretaries who act as directors when the directors are unavailable. So my plea, Chair, through to you, just as I have to sit through that, they need to give us those answers that they would have had prepared in the last 2 months, and then we'll take it forward. Thank you, Chair.
Is that the feeling of the meeting?
Agreed, Chair.
DG, shoot.
I beg for your indulgence, Chair. I just want to be clear so that I answer the expectation of the Honourable Member, just to refresh my...
If I may, to you, Chair. When we sat at the meeting on the 30th, what happened just now was deja vu, because we sat at the meeting where this was presented to us. In my notes, before the CFO could say to alter 4 million to 5 million, my notes were altered. It was altered because this presentation was given to us then. At the conclusion of his presentation, all of us as members raised concerns, sought clarity, and it was then decided that your department needed time to go and get the answers, and we had concluded that we will reconvene the following week, which did not happen. So my request is that you took all those questions and concerns we noted, that we raised, and you were supposed to respond. In fact, today, you should have rather responded instead of giving us the entire presentation again. That's what we were waiting for. And this is why I walked to our officials and asked them whether you got the notice of the meeting, because either the meeting had said... just give me a second. Presentation on the responses by the CFO on the circumstances that have led to the rehearing. It wasn't for the presentation which was repeated. But I painstakingly sat here. So we were expecting you to respond to all of our concerns. And you had 2 months to get the answers to that. Thank you, Chair. I'm sure I'm clear. Unless I'm speaking in the vernacular.
It's me who said they must present the report. So don't...
Apologies, Chair.
Yeah, it's me who said they must present the report. Then you can respond to other things.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, for giving us this opportunity. I will go straight to the slide 21. In this case, Honorable Members, it came to our attention after the Auditor General has concluded that this matter was not brought out to the relevant involved people to make adequate responses to, but we did follow up on checking with the former office what had transpired, because we had all the facts before us. I don't know how sensitive it can be. It was just, the context is around the time of the impasse in the DRC elections, January 2019. And the minister was supposed to go to Zambia, to the organ chair of the SADC, and to Namibia to the chair of SADC. And it was changed later that they would rather have a conversation, and instead, because we had already moved steps to secure the arrangements for her to go, to say, okay, we are learning that members of the, we used to call them Fayulu team, are in South Africa elsewhere. What about now that we'll still pay anyway for the cancellation, why shouldn't she meet with them before a media statement that should follow as a result of the impasse then? So what happened was that, therefore, after the conversation between the chair, which is Namibia, of the SADC, and the chair of the organ, she then had to go and meet with those people, the delegation that was also here in the country to solicit support in challenging the outcomes of the elections. As this were done in a very quick and instant manner, all the things were diverted to happen like that. And I want to come to the point now to say, when this came to my point that, oh, I thought this would have been done appropriately, because it was said after everything must be done to be there. And I asked the chief of staff, can you explain to me what transpired? Because I see there is a finding and you didn't... The response here is not a true reflection. He said, no, he explained. I said, can you please put it in writing? For me, at least, to satisfy myself, because of the sensitivities around it as well as what I know personally about. And then he in August then, before, that was when the management report, I should have started to say, what you have, it is a summary of the management report that AG always a package for management, well, if I may, to deal with the issues, but not necessarily to run away from the matters raised. It is uncommon that a management report will be not disclosed, but put out public, because it doesn't form part of the part that we call the audit report. However, the matters relate to whatever is found there. It's not a secret, but it is done in a different manner. So when he responded to me, he actually raised a number of things, and I'll submit the letter for the committee to see what he said, but I'll summarize to say he brought it back to my attention that why was he not informed first that there is a query, because he could have given answers that he believed would have made the AG to arrive at a different conclusion than this one, more so that they are quoting the ministerial handbook as a violated document, because it was within the what is provided for. But equally, he then gave me the background to say what was happening then was that it was during that SADC impasse. So I said to him, look, this is a regular expenditure. We have disclosed it as such. And therefore, for us to treat it and to ensure that it is confirmed, or we can still go back to the AG to revisit the finding, or with these facts, whether it will be the same conclusion. Because under normal circumstances, I can put it out, no one can be so reckless as to simply just take an aircraft, especially the chartered one, and go to a party political. I believe in all parties. I believe so. And go there as if there is no law. You can
behave like some people who use a chopper from her house to a deep in July.
Something like
so it was, the minister behaved like
it was unfortunate that the horses bolted. It was in the management report, together with what we will explain later, how we're dealing with these matters. It will be shown. Because the committee will recall that we reported that we started with irregular expenditure of 1670, investigated, 1718, investigated the report that will later serve, because we are dealing with the aspect. Then this is the third. This is the year that is current in terms of audit, but which the processes are underway as well. So our submission would therefore have been that we do not agree with this finding, and we would like to put it, not we can't challenge the Auditor General. They made a finding, they concluded. But as it goes to the determination which is prescribed by the National Treasury Framework, that once you have an irregular expense, you have to determine two things. Was it intentional? Was it negligence? Was it just total disregard of laws? Is it a condonable case, etc.? Then you are going to then go back. Once one of the outcomes is, say for example, we determine it not to be irregular based on the fact, we'll then propose to remove it, to remove it from the disclosure as an irregular expenditure. And that process has not been embarked upon to clearly go there. Like I said, it is unfortunate. The circumstances around which when these reports were presented, and when I go back to the chairperson's first question, was it was on the spot thing that we did not see that. A management report would be paraphrased and then into a presentation and be presented. We would not have allowed a situation where, for example, the reason I believe the AG would not just publish things like this, because they can't write about who did what, but they report about what happened and the place where it happened. So we answer by saying that as the internal control deficiency was noted by the AG, that we should ensure that expenditure incurred on behalf of the minister is in line with the privileges and benefits, which is true, of course. It's exactly what we are standing for. And once this process has been concluded, including having gone back, because the current annual financial statements are done, we should be able to determine which of those irregular expenditure that was not conclusively confirmed as irregular, and that will come out. I will avail the evidence before the committee about what we did, because everyone, including myself, as the accounting officer and director general to which is referred, has to explain himself or etc. Including those, I see some of them that happened when it was acting, the buck stops with me. Whatever was committed as a director general, obviously, it means me in my capacity, and that's all that we can say about the others that are there. The other one there that I must say before I close this one, because it was specific, is to say the unfortunate part is that it is here with you. It's already here in the public domain, and we have to explain to you this way something that we're still in the AG is here to listen to us, something that we are still engaging on to raise and say in our determination. And we can be, the Office of the Accountant General will also have to come to the show. We will see whether this indeed could be sustained. And in that case, the natural consequence, management, whatever, will then follow in, because we would have failed to do that. So we are at a stage where we're dealing with the previous financial years, and the reports are available. We're at the implementation phase. Labor Relations is assisting us to isolate cases, because the investigation, among others, found that some of the matters that were found to have been irregular, by means of all tests, don't qualify as such. And therefore, we will recommend that they be de-recorded as irregular, in line with the applicable prescripts, while others where losses would not have been incurred would be treated otherwise. So I will pause here for the purpose of follow-ups on this particular matter, and then I'll answer the other part later.
How did the report of the management land here as a presentation?
Yeah. Okay. I will give over to the CFO.
I am asking you.
No, on this particular.
How did a management report lens here as a presentation? I'm asking you, TJ.
Honorable Chair and honorable members, it is one of those that happened without my prior knowledge or approval then.
Then how are you hoping to deal with the matter?
Honorable Chair, I have spoken to the DG CFO about it. We are in the process of remedying this matter, and we then had to come and, especially because it is here, to come and answer here today. The committee will be informed about what we would conclude with, because we didn't want to preempt what is already out there, as if it is just to say, can you please, I wish that it didn't happen, because we had to come and explain ourselves in what we are doing about the actual issues as part of how we want to work together well going forward regarding this. We have had a thorough discussion, and then it was agreed forthwith that a matter like this will not happen, should not have happened, and therefore it is unfortunate that it happened when the horse has already bolted, and now we are dealing with its contents. Thank you.
So, I can see you are hot, man. CFO, what was your intentions of bringing a management report to this portfolio committee without the approval of the DG?
Thank you, Chair. Firstly, before I go directly to the question, I want to say, Chair, I highly respect this committee, no doubt. But I want to say that I'm also a professional in my work. So I want that to be appreciated. I was given a letter to indicate the issues that must come here through the relevant structures from the minister, the DG, and to me, and which is an unprecedented request that I received, that I must appear in person in terms of the work of the department, which that work in the report was done in my absence here. So the only document that was in my position, which I was working on in terms of the development of action plan, in terms of how this matter must be addressed, is basically the management report. So if now the
CFO,
yeah,
can you please answer the question and rather elaborate on that question? Because you see now, you are bringing many issues. That triggers many questions to us. That's why you see hands as you are speaking. Because if you are saying that a report was done in your absence, in absentia a report was done. In your absence, that's what you're saying. A report was done.
The audit.
In your, yes, that
the audit.
It's a report.
Yes, the audit.
An audit was done and you are bringing a report to us of an audit which was done in your absence. You see, we here, we are politicians and we are not apologetic about that. You might be professional, but here we are politicians, unapologetic of that. Where I'm seated, I hold master's degree in public administration, honor's degree in public administration. That's me. And these honorable members, as they are seated here, they've got their own academic qualifications. Now, we understand what professionalism means. Very clear. Ourselves. So, once you start from a premise that suggests that you are a professional in this and that, you are starting on the wrong foot. So that's why it's important that when you are asked a question, avoid preambles. Because preambles are going to create another debate, which is unnecessary. So we leave that preamble and get to the response. And fortunately, this response does not warrant you to say yes or no. It affords you an opportunity to elaborate on whatever that you want to say in response. Leave the preambles, please.
Thank you, Chair. Oh, as I said, that what was available at my disposal was a management report to talk to the detail of the issues. That's what I presented. Indeed, I didn't receive an approval from the DG, but a copy was submitted to the office of the Director General, so before I came here. So the copy, honorable members, the presentation in the way we distribute this, it goes to the Director General, submit that to the Ministry. Ministry then, through the parliamentary liaison officer, sent to the committee. I never had a personal interaction with the committee in terms of the submitting of this report. So the report for me, it comes from the department, doesn't come from the CFO.
I want to remind you of what we had written to the powers that be of your department, not of Parliament. Briefing to the Portfolio Committee. The Portfolio Committee on International Relations and Corporations is scheduled to hold a meeting on the 30th of October 2019, 9:30. The Portfolio Committee requests a presentation by the CFO on the circumstances that have led to the recurring Auditor General's audit outcomes on the department, which relate to the work of the Finance and Assets Management branch. The presentation should address the following audit outcomes. 1. Cash and cash equivalents. Submission of annual financial statements with material errors. Non-compliance with legislation in supply chain management. Prevention of unauthorized, irregular, and fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Contracts awarded for diplomatic bag services. Procurement of goods and services without inviting competitive bids. 7. contracts awarded to bidders based on evaluation adjudication criteria that differed or differed from those stipulated in the original invitation for quotations. Supply chain and financial management issues with regard to the New York pilot project, lack of completeness and existence of movable assets register. Those were 9 areas, very specific, that the report should focus on. And what did we get?
Management report.
We got a management report. A management report that seeks to vindicate the CFO from everything else that has ever happened under the finance branch in the department. I remember that day that in New York we said we're not even going to note New York because the presentation of the CFO on New York was a defense to what the AG had presented to the portfolio committee. It was a side of a story of the CFO. That was the feeling of the meeting. And now you want to defend why you brought a management report here without the approval of the DG. I wish I was the DG of this department. I wish, don't want us to swap teaching. Can't I be the portfolio committee chair and myself be the DG? Just for 1 month.
That's too long.
It's enough for me to be the DG of this department. 1 month. Luanda, can the minister... Yes. So, that's why the question... What was the intention to bring a management report to the portfolio committee without the agreement of that particular meeting of the management, let alone the approval of the DG? Because a meeting is a meeting of, I would assume that great minds of the department that seeks to drive a positive agenda for the department, and there decisions are made and decisions are taken which are progressive for the department. And that meeting would have taken a decision to say we can present this report to Parliament as and when the need arises. Because where I'm seated, DG, this report seeks to divert us from what is happening in that department and that particular branch of finance. Hence, slide 21 was included. Now, as you are responding to slide 21 yourself, DG, you are promising us a letter or whatever evidence, which we want that evidence now, because you have a tendency of living here, having promised us that you are going to submit written responses, and those responses, they never came forth. You are still waiting for written responses. So we want that which you have there to be submitted now, before you leave this room. Want that response. We are not going to let you out of this room without that piece of evidence. And I wish to understand that as the head of the department, how do you wish to correct this thing which is on slide 21? Which, in my view, is dealing with the integrity of that particular minister, Elingayazeno Mangubane. Because once you allege a member of the executive to have contravened with a ministerial handbook, It's a very serious allegation. It's a very serious allegation. So, we want that response, we want that evidence, and we want it now. And how do you wish to correct that thing, DG? We want to know. How do you wish to correct it? If what you have presented here is a true reflection of what transpired.
Honorable Chair, we would like to follow the procedure that is prescribed in the framework, which says if in the instance where we, of course, even in our response to AG, we says we disagree with the finding. We're going to give more facts, including evidence that suggests that the answer that we would have had, had the relevant people been given an opportunity to respond, would have been this, and our belief is that it will arrive at a different conclusion and therefore remove the matter as non-compliance to the ministerial handbook. Part of the evidence that Chairperson is requesting is what would be packaged into the next phase, because the procedure says after it has been, it is a finding of the AG, and rightly so, based on the facts before the AG, but it still calls for us to make a full determination so that in the event that we want to go back, we are able to go back. And then now that we can't change the finding, we can therefore, as I said, the ultimate destination would be to I don't have the right word of, when you have disclosed something into something, when you are disclosing it, and we'll propose together with others that of a similar nature, which we have found to be in that category. So we as I said earlier, as we deal with 18, 19, it will be part of those packaged for that. Because the ultimate is condonation if it is found not to have been lost to the state. And because the question here is more to do with non-compliance to like the ministerial handbook, our challenge to it will be based on that, and we'll see how the powers that be, which is the AG and National Treasury, take it. And our confidence is that it will be so. So others that are of similar nature that we found otherwise, after having tested them, will all follow the same suit. So I can't, it's unfortunate that I said when we are in the process, and then at the end when this is ultimately submitted, that's when we will report back to the committee what the outcome was.
Honorable Nkosi, Honorable Mwela, Honorable Chetty, Honorable Swartz, Honorable the Whip, Honorable Nsana, you are on leave today, you're not speaking.
No.
Yeah, okay. Number one.
Chair, I think that we're sitting with a crisis.
Again.
And to pretend otherwise is really to be dishonest to ourselves as a committee. So I'm going to raise the procedural point that we must first resolve before we get onto the issues that are in the report. Firstly, just as an aside, is that when you started CFO, when the CFO started chair, he denied responsibility for the report. He said it is not his report, it's just a conduit. He didn't compile the report, but at the end, he then says he used a management. So there's a serious contradiction in the first place. But that's besides the point. It just demonstrates the crisis of faith in this issue. The procedural point, Chair, is that if I understand what the DG is saying, they are still engaging the AG on the management letter and giving input and responses on the management letter on your action plans. Some of the issues that you want to further engage with the AG on, you are disputing, you still want to present further evidence on all these issues. This makes the responses based on the management letter very, not ad hoc, but intuitive. It's work, okay, work in progress for lack of a better word. So if you bring work in progress in the team, in the committee, it becomes difficult to engage with it because this is not a final product. We can't, on the basis of something that is still work in process, progress and engagement between yourself and the AG, arrive at a report. So my suggestion that if that is the case, Chair, then the department be given the opportunity to finalize their responses to the management letter and interrogate those issues and bring a finalized report that has been through the structures of the department. The minister, the DG, the management committee, what is this thing? The senior management team, because ultimately they must take the responsibility for the report. But if that is not the case and there is an insistence that we should ask the questions on the basis of this interim report, then we proceed to do so. Just on procedure, because if we are going to ignore this, later a report is going to come and we are going to be told this is the final report, when we have actually deliberated on the report that is not final. Chair.
No. Thanks, Chair. Honorable Nkosi is correct, Honorable Issues Chair. I think the reason, if honorable members and the officials from the department, in particular the CFO, if you can remember very well, after the presentation of the AG report, I asked a simple question. Does the CFO agrees with the AG report? And I requested you, through you, Chair, that the response expected from the CFO was yes or no. And it looked like then, probably, I was something else. Today, again, there is a report here. As Mr. Honorable Nkosi was saying earlier on, when they were about to present this report, there was a problem to say, actually, who owns this report? The CFO said, no, I don't own the report. But at the end of the day, the CFO presented and he knew the report. The report landed here without the knowledge of the accounting office. What are we dealing with? What exactly are we dealing with? Whose report is this one exactly? Because to me, Honorable Chair, that nobody will account. At the end of the day, to know what to do with a report, no one can account on this report. It's a management report. We are told it's a management report, but the DG has not signed off the report to come to us and so on. Now, my problem, Chair, is that we have not yet even entertained responses. We have not yet even entertained responses. And to me, it tells us that we are actually being undermined as a portfolio committee. I'm not so sure, Chair, if they undermine you because you are the chair. Maybe they are undermining you. I must be honest with you because we can't keep on saying, going round and round and round. No, Chair. No. Today we are here, tomorrow we're there, tomorrow we're here. It's like we are not moving any step further. We are stuck. And all of us, we must be stuck because of the department, because of the DG and the CFO. No. The DG and the CFO are messing up that department.
They're messing up that department. I don't know what is the problem. If the DG can't manage, the DG must leave that department. If the DG can't manage the people, your people DG, you are failing us. Leave that department. If you can't, we have been speaking about consequence management since last year. Nothing has happened. Many reports, DG, consequence management. Nothing has happened up until today. We are stuck even here today with a report that we don't know where is this report coming from, who is the author of this report, who owns this report, who is accountable to this report. We don't even know. No, it can't be DG. It can't be. I'm even tempted to ask you, Uti, when is your contract lapsing? I'm even tempted to ask you that question because you are the head of that institution administratively. And we are stuck here. One minute, we're going there. No, I'm not aware. I was not told. No, DG. No. No. And no. Chairperson, I'm not so sure, but my feeling is that probably they are undermining you. And if we can't stand up as the portfolio committee and do what is expected of us as public representatives, then we'll be failing our organizations and those people on the ground, those who deployed us to come and represent them here. Because really, what we're doing here, no, from pillar to post. Then I suggest that Chair Ken, the DG, take up a lead. If he can't, then can he excuse us? Can he excuse us? So that we can know exactly what is the problem. Because it's clear that I'm not so sure whether the DG is afraid of taking decisions or what, I don't know. How many times CME, does this DG, consequence management, these are the issues, these are the areas. Can you handle this? Up until today, we are starting again here today. Aye. Thank you, Chair.
Thanks, Chair. Yeah. Chair, let me just note that I hope now that the Honourable Lakota will realize the frustration that the members of the committee has. He's now seen it firsthand as well. See, Chairperson, when the CFO started, he gave us the proviso to say that this was done in absentia and he couldn't understand why he had to present it. And then he speaks about the fact that the letter came through, where it was to the minister, to the DG, to him as the CFO. Now, Chair, I have a problem. Because on the 30th of October, neither the DG nor the CFO put a proviso relating to this matter. And, Chair, I want to refresh the memory and the minds of the committee, where we were even in hushed tones saying, maybe we need to get the former minister to come before the committee on this issue. What we're hearing today is a different story, Chairperson, and you must attest to the fact, because we were not given this story on the 30th of October. Now, you see, even the DG, in his explanation, spoke about the fact that there would have been the cost that were incurred would have been forfeited. And rather than have it forfeited, they utilized it. Now, I have a concern there, Chairperson. We as a committee took a decision, we will not play politics, but there is the Ethics Committee for Members of Parliament. Now, if I read this, Chairperson, the minister's trip for political party gala dinner was noted as an official trip, even though it does not meet the requirements of the official trip. So I can't play politics, because it's here, it's before us. South Africans out there need to know how this government is spending their money. You quoted in Persana, the beauty of her is she didn't use our money. She didn't use the public's purse. She used the money she got from tenders. Now, Chairperson, if the CFO said this was done in his absentia, surely there was somebody in one of those departments that wrote this report and submitted it. That's why it's here. We as a committee did not just pick something from the street or read in the paper and come and ask you about it. You gave it to us. Somebody in the department identified this. Now, how is it that both the CFO or the DG comes before us as a committee, having not perused the document, and remove it before it's presented to us, if, as they say, the findings were still that they in dispute with the AG about it? Because, had it not been here, there was no reason for us to have the debate now, Chair. But unfortunately, DG, you're going to dispute it, and I can tell you beforehand that the AG is not going to agree with it. Because in the report that we received from the AG, and if you have it with you, that's on page 18, so you can make a note of that when you go back to your office in Pretoria, in the air-conditioned office. The nature of fruitless and wasteful expenditure. Cancellation of services, i.e. cancellation of flight, tickets, functions, etc. Now, I'm just saying if I look at that, and pardon me with professionalism you have, CFO, surely those already will be a red flag with this incident. If you're saying it's not that, I'm saying that AG themselves are saying those are issues. And here is an issue that's highlighted as one of it, which includes all three. So, the chairperson, and I'm going to quote you to say about spin doctoring to the DG. We can't have that. The beauty part is you're dealing with finances. There's no gray area. It's black or it's white. 1 plus 1 can only equal to 2, not 0.19 or 1.9. There can only be 1. That's it. Now, if this did not happen, it just didn't appear yet. Something untoward happened. And what we are doing now is we're trying to cover it up. We're trying to do damage control. Because whether we like it or not, this has far more deeper political ramifications than just what's happening now in this portfolio committee. Because this is going to go out to the public. It's going to be raised. And I can tell you this much. This, if you look in the report that you gave us as well, is not the only function that happened where you're deviated. It seems that it's something that happens every other time. You say that it was the chief of staff that submitted it, in your comments. And then you make reference as well to 2019 elections, that this happened to the impasse of the 2019 elections. Now, it's very concerning, because this implicates a minister doing a trip for political party gala. And it's around the time that you speak about, by your own words, during the impasse of the 2019 election that all of this happened. Now, I'm concerned, because if you look at what the internal control deficiency says, the Director General did not ensure that all the expenditure incurred on behalf of the Minister is in line with the benefits and privileges to which members of the executive are entitled to. So, in your defense, if I give you the benefit of the doubt, let's say this was incorrect. You're going to speak to the AG, and they will say they are sorry, and they'll remove it. But they don't say that it's only this incident. They say the Director General does not ensure that all the expenditure, which means there's others. There are others. It's just not this incident only they're talking about. You raised the one incident. But according to the AG, there are other incidents as well, which we are not aware of. So, Chairperson, again, we're going to go through this whole thing all over again, and we're going to have the same meandering happening.
And I don't want to say that I'm not in the position, because the Honourable Lokota did remind us of what our responsibilities are, but say, Mr. Chairperson, for us to function as a committee, we are going to need to take some drastic decisions. And we have to have an engagement with the minister. If not, I think my role as an opposition in this committee, I will be speaking to my chief hope to ask whether I be reassigned somewhere else, where we can do something more constructive and make sure that what the people of this country have asked us to come and do here, we are doing that. I mean, it's not sitting here at the top shop. Thanks, Chair.
Without you, we'll have a breath of fresh air. Ask that chief hope of yours would be better. Next.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, even if I was not here when the presentation was done the first time around, but I think ever since we started this morning, I've been listening and listening, and I think especially around slide number 21, because that is what is being discussed. So that because I was not here, and I assume that I am hearing properly, that according to the ministerial book, a minister of international relations at DIRCO is allowed to use the charter. Whoever is going to respond, can we have yes and no, so that we are not slow learners, we are there. So according to the ministerial book, yes or no, they are allowed to use the charter. In this instance, if I had heard properly, it was for the minister to meet colleagues in another country where there were elections, or to support the elections, so that we get clearer clarity there, what was the meeting all about. Because in between, I heard of a media briefing. Where was the media briefing supposed to take place? And I heard the part that the charter had been procured. Now, in my own lame language, a private charter, when you procure it, the company of the private charter do not have pilots there all the time, if I'm correct, or staff. So it comes with the staff and everything. So once you have procured it and you don't use it, you still pay a percentage. I just want clarity on that, so that we get through this thing, all of us on the same page. You had procured, and that the officials must clearly tell us that whoever procured, are they really for real when they say that the minister was going to a political dinner? Vis-a-vis what is there. And I hope by now, Chairperson, that the DG has, through that many people sitting there next to him, forwarded you the evidence, the letter that is there, so that at least as the Chairperson you see it and read it, that it is there with the explanation. Because it means that we are sitting here, and when you got the first report, it was a stolen abstract from a management report. In street language, an abstract was stolen from a management report and presented here. I'm saying it was stolen because the DG did not know that that report is coming here, and he did not sign it off for it to come here. So the CFO, I don't know why he had abstracted all these things, because if I hear the DG properly, he says this is not the complete management report. It's part of it. So it means from the original management report, some things were taken out to be brought here, but seemingly which are not even today responding to 9 questions that the chair outlined now. And most of these things, Chair, when I look at them, even if I was not at the first presentation, are mostly many things that were spoken about by us as the committee ward officials when we visited Durco for an oversight. Now still, after so many months, they are still saying that the internal processes are not correct. Nobody's coming with remedies to us. That after so many months ago you came for oversight, this is what we've put in place, this is what we are doing. We are still going over the same things. But let me not deviate from slide number 21. Because now, when we are seated here, from a stolen report, from what the DG is saying, that they are still going to go back to the AG and present themselves, because as the chairperson has said, the ministerial handbook is a serious allegation if you have bypassed whatever is supposed to be in there and you have not followed it correctly. Now, the DG says that they are disagreeing with the AG's finding and they will make a full determination. But now we are sitting in a committee where we are now having people saying that it will go to the public, it will do this. So I just want the officials to explain to us properly that how are you going to fix this? Because one, the report came here without the DG's approval. He did not know. Two, the CFO says it is not his presentation, but he presented it. He says it is somebody else's presentation, but he presented it. Now, who in the officials does this presentation belong to? So it means that person that the report belongs to have sent the CFO to come and present on their behalf. But everything in your talks finances. So I want to know that either than the CFO, who deals with all these things? Is it not the CFO himself that he says that it is not his report? He was representing who? The CFO, yeah. When he came with the first presentation to come and present here. Because surely it means we are going to sleep here, because if they don't have the questions, Lubabalo, you must give them so that they respond to the 9 questions, because it's going to be on and on, the ones the chair was reading to them, the 9 questions that they were supposed to answer today. But I think, Chair, I agree with you, as Hambi Lapangoba Ute, we are not going to live up until this slide 21 is answered, and the rest. But if they are still going to go back to the AG and what, it means that everything here is flawed today. It is flawed if you are still going back and us, the CFO presented, and the CFO in between says it's not his report. So me, because I was not here, maybe so that I catch up, that who is the owner of the report that the CFO presented here? Or who is the author? It's not himself. Somebody wrote and he came to present, because I'm just getting lost. Thank you, Chair.
Hoping you are noting the questions. Next on the list.
Thank you, Chair. You see, Chair, I used to, when I'm stressed, to watch a comedy by Mr. Bean. And especially when he's driving a car in a circle, round and round. And it makes me laugh, and it relieves me from the stress. And I think this is what we are doing here, since last day, since we came
then
in.
Then laugh, okay, the stress will be relieved if you see Mr. Bean here.
This is really Mr. Bean comedy here. Chair, what is then become the status of the report? If both the CFO and the DG don't take ownership of it, because we must answer that question, is very fundamental. Because we can't deal with a report that no one knows and cannot take ownership. Because we will then be asked that, what were you dealing with? And we will have to answer. And Chair, I think I'm really getting tired now of turning this committee into a conflict and dispute resolution committee between the CFO and the DG. We are not appointed or deployed to deal with those issues. There are committees that are responsible for those. But I think, Chair, it must now come to an end. And then, Chair, I think we will talk and talk and talk. I just want to propose that whatever meeting you propose, Chair, when we meet, I can't say when, of the committee. Really, this time we must get a comprehensive report from the DG with clear responses. Because now we still have the outstanding responses from the previous engagements. Mm-hmm. They have not been responded to. Now we are coming up with other questions today, and I guarantee you won't get responses to those questions either. So, Chair, I'm not preventing them to respond. They will respond, but I guarantee you we won't get the response that we want. So I want to propose that we get a full, so that the meeting just don't become a futile exercise on our part. Because really what is happening here, we're talking about irregular expenditure. These meetings, the department coming here and don't present anything, that alone in its own is tantamount to irregular expenditure on their part, not on our part. We are doing our work here. So maybe when they deal with irregular expenditure and wasteful expenditure, they must include these meetings that they come here and they just don't deal with the issue. So, and then that comprehensive report must deal with the responses to the previous questions and the questions we are asking now, and also state clearly the actions that the DG is going to take in terms of consequence management. Otherwise, if we don't get that report, then when we meet again, then we'll get a management report again, which no one will take ownership of, and then we'll waste time again. Thanks, Chair.
I want to give you a benefit of a doubt. Do you have responses with your team?
Yes, we do, Honorable Chair.
Can we start with a supply chain?
The unit or supply chain matters.
And so yes, and yes, one is a 90 plane, 120 there, and I old assembly there, and I national assembly there. I'm not a professional. Did you go? Supply chain reflects 100 times, yeah. I want that chief director of supply chain to respond as stipulated in the report.
Thank you. I'll defer to the Chief Director of Supply Chain, Mr. Masham.
Thank you, DG. The responses are contained in the presentation that was here in the morning. I'm not sure if we can have it displayed.
Do you want the presentation or your responses? Because that presentation is not what we are required for this meeting.
Okay.
So
I suggest that you reflect on your responses.
Or in terms of the slides where I mentioned?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. Now, in terms of the slides where I mentioned, it comes mostly in supply chain related findings as an internal control deficiency. Based on the fact that with all supply chain related transactions, they will eventually or should have been subjected to supply chain scrutiny before the services are secured. Now, based on that fact, it will be regarded by the AGSA as a control deficiency because it's a control point before orders and before contracts are signed and are approved. I do acknowledge that in the report it comes across as mentioned, but I would also like to highlight to members that the issues that are indicated as a control deficiency is because of the transactions that have gone through supply chain. The only one where supply chain is mentioned as not only being accountable but also responsible is the one that relates to the multi-choice. But the others is basically things that have gone through, but we were not really responsible. Now, with the one, we were accountable but not responsible. With
sorry,
the
Chair.
Okay.
Sorry, Chair.
Amin?
Yes? No, Chair, with due respect, I respect you as the Chair, not like other people. I want to request that because the DG said they are ready with the responses, can we have the responses being circulated so that we can see if what the chief director, whatever that is responding to, it's aligned with what the DG is having. I'm doing that, I'm raising that so that, Chair, tomorrow we don't find ourselves in the same problem where somebody will say something and tomorrow say something else. Because that's the tendency of the department. And we won't be able, as this portfolio committee, to actually hold others accountable because we don't have anything in black and white. Thank you, Chair.
The responses are on the presentation. Comrade Mwela. The one that they came to present on fruitless, and that's what you are saying, a chief director.
Yes.
The response which the chief director is presenting is on this presentation, and this is the presentation which we did not want in this meeting. Now, I want to understand you very clear, Honorable Mwela. Whether you are saying that the responses must be displayed there instead of the responses being read by the chief director. And by so doing, you must know and understand that you are in actual fact receiving that report. You see? It's a very tricky situation. Yeah, so you must be clear, Honorable Ngozi.
Please bear with me and my indulgence. Is the DG saying that the report of the city is an approval? In other words, we are now dealing with and questioning you on the basis of the report that you have sent to us, approved by yourself. That's the first point. Because then it will explain why we must go to this one. But if, Chair, the DG still feels that this is work in progress, we can still go and refine it, then that's fine. Otherwise, we have questions that we want to table on, even on SEM, etc., etc. But before we answer that prior question, I mean, if the DG says he has got responses on this, then you are saying the report went to the assessment.
Okay.
No, Chair, when, before the DG comes in, what then complicates the matter further again? The Chief Director is also doing the same thing that the CFO did, and the DG and he says he's not accountable, he's not responsible.
And what
he on what he's is presenting. So now then, he said something. He responded to what he said, but he also mentioned that I didn't know where he said, but there was that mention that there was something that I was not responsible for. So if you can clarify that, which one was he not responsible for?
You have stopped the Chief Director from presenting because you said you want something in writing. Let's move from that premise. Now, I'm saying to you, what the Chief Director is presenting is on the document before you. Are you saying that the document before you be presented because the Chief Director says his responses are there? Yonke into le niyithethayo ayikho, it doesn't arise. No, it doesn't arise. The response is there. Diplomatic bag, boom. Wara, boom. There. So, this is the report which we said we don't want. Usifuna liyangithethi. Now, responses of supply chain are contained in this report. Are you saying that when they're responding, they must put the slides before us rather instead of reading before the slides? Honorable Msan, Yagboni Aniki.
Thanks, Chair. You know, I was so prepared for this meeting. Yo, I took the 3 months Guamina to do my own fact-finding, and yo, right now I'm very frustrated. But look, looking at this report that we did not want to be presented, Chair, it doesn't have meat. I think let's agree. Let them respond, and then response must be written. After the meeting, we get written responses of what they would have said to us. Honorable Mwela, if I capture him correctly, it's to say we need proof. Because it's not sufficient. Guayona is skeleton. They're giving us things that we know. We are on a fact-finding mission. So they can respond, and then but after the meeting, we get a proper documentation. Efana na ile presentation ya wogoto ene nyama to explain what they've explained today in the meeting as evidence. Thank you very much.